My whole life of faith, I've never really paid attention to the Feast of the Presentation. There are other scenes in the life of Jesus that seem more important to me. However, I'm wrong. The mystical city of God reveals to us the inner mystery of the Presentation, and here the Blessed Mother reveals to Venerable Mary of Agreda the mystery of suffering, its importance, and how to suffer like a saint. If you'd like to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. Now I'm going to summarize the first portion of it and then go right into her instructions that even give us a way to pray through suffering that is simple but yet very powerful. So the Blessed Mother and God the Father, in wanting to keep with the Jewish traditions, Jesus was already belonging to God, but they wanted to present him to God by using these Jewish ceremonies. And there you have described many mystical things that happen. One of the things that's most notable is that there is a procession of over 14,000 angels going with them to the presentation and from after it happens. Now, coincidentally, I'll be going to Ireland this weekend for the Feast of the Presentation for a Eucharistic procession. And at first I thought, what's the connection? There isn't any. And it's because here is revealed who God really is. That God isn't a God of power or a God of lust or a God of anger or all these other gods that have been revealed through the pagan religions, false gods, demons, deceiving us into understanding a false understanding of who God is. In the presentation, we really see that God is a humble, suffering God, and for this very reason, he is a sign of contradiction that many will reject, and the Blessed Mother has to face her own suffering. That's why her heart is pierced by a sword. And does she accept the suffering offered to her? She does. As we know, she continues with it and calls us to it. Listen to what she has to say. My daughter, the doctrine and example contained in the foregoing chapter will teach thee to strive after the constancy and expansion of heart, by which thou mayest prepare thyself to accept blessings and adversity, the sweet and the bitter, with equanimity. O dearest soul, how narrow and unwilling is the human heart toward that which is contrary and distasteful to its earthly inclinations, how it chafes and labors, how impatiently it meets them, how insufferable it deems all that is contrary to its desires, how persistently it forgets that its teacher and master has first accepted sufferings and has honored and sanctified them in his own person. It is a great shame, yea, a great boldness on the part of the faithful that they should abhor suffering. Even after my most holy Son did suffer for them, and when so many of the just before his death were led to embrace the cross solely by the hope that Christ would once suffer upon it, although they would never live to see it. And if this want of correspondence is so base in others, consider well, my dearest, how vile it would be in you, who are so anxious to obtain the grace and the friendship of the Most High, who desires to merit the name of a spouse in front of God, who wishes to belong entirely to him, and that he belong entirely to you, who wishes to be my disciple and I be your teacher, who aspires to follow and imitate me as a faithful mother, as a faithful daughter, her mother. All this must not result in mere sentiment and in empty words, or often repeated exclamations of Lord, Lord, and when the occasion of tasting the chalice and the cross of suffering is at hand, you must not turn away in sorrow and afflictions from the sufferings by which the sincerity of a loving, affectionate heart is to be tried. All this would be denying in your actions what you profess in your words, and it would be a swerving from the path of eternal life, for you cannot follow Christ if you refuse to embrace the cross and rejoice in it, nor shall you find me by any other way. If creatures fail you, if temptation or trouble assail you, if the sorrows of death encompass you, you must in no wise be disturbed or disheartened, since nothing displeases my most holy Son or me more than placing a hindrance or misapplying the grace given by him for your defense. By misusing it and receiving it in vain, you yield great victory to the demon, who glorifies much in having disturbed or subjected any soul that calls itself a disciple of Christ and of me. And having once brought you to default in small things, he will soon oppress you in greater ones. Confide then in the protection of the Most High and press onward, trusting in me. Full of this trust, whenever tribulation comes over thee, fervently exclaim, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? He is my helper, why should I hesitate? I have a mother, a queen, and a mistress, who will assist me and take care of me in my affliction. In every event, I sought motives for glorifying and adoring his admirable wisdom. If the transitory labors and sufferings are accepted with joy and with serenity of heart, They spiritualize the creature. They elevate it and furnish it with a divine insight by which the soul begins to esteem affliction at its proper value and soon finds consolation in the blessings of mortification and of freedom from disorderly passions. This is the teaching of the school of the Redeemer, hidden from those living in Babylon and from those who love vanity. I wish also that you imitate me in respecting the priests and ministers of the Lord, who in the new law hold a much higher divinity than in the old, since the divine word has now united itself with human nature and become the eternal high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. My friends, contrary to what it might seem, if we present this image of God to others, that God is humble, that God suffers for us, that God offers that suffering on our behalf, and he willingly takes it and he forgives those who attack him, this is a compelling image of God. This is something that will convert people's hearts, because everyone is suffering in some sort of way, and this gives tremendous meaning to suffering. It calls us to courage, it calls us to be who we're really made for, and it makes sense of life. Every time we try to avoid suffering, we really just create more of it, but a type of suffering that doesn't redeem and doesn't take us anywhere. Rather, when we take up our cross and follow Jesus, it sanctifies us. It makes us patient. It converts the hearts and minds of other people. It gives us an incredible example to others that even the secular people want to imitate. Write that prayer that the Blessed Mother speaks about in your heart, and they will give you the courage to suffer anything, no matter what comes your way. God bless you, and I will see you in the next one.